Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas. And the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot, and I cannot stress this enough, a lot to get into on a Thursday. We are going to be joined by the Sporting Tribune's Jake Dicker in segment one, Brandon Deutsch, Grant Mona in seg two. Really probably going to hit on a lot of the same topics because, quite frankly, this is a story that will be the focus of not only the baseball world, but really the sports world. Jake, let's bring you in here. Before we talk about the game itself, the story that broke yesterday with Shohei Ohtani. I mean, when you talk about stories that you could not have predicted happening, this is definitely at the top of the list. Ipe Masuhara has been Shohei Ohtani's interpreter since he has been in Major League Baseball. They've been friends for quite some time. Initially, the story was thought to be Shohei Ohtani paying off the gambling debt of his friend and interpreter, $4.5 million. Somewhere along the way, within 24 hours, that story changed to he's a thief. He's been fired. He's no longer Shohei's interpreter. Again, a lot to get into. Just wanted to get your quick thoughts on this. When you talk about there is no bigger superstar right now in the world of sport than Shohei Ohtani, for him, and again, to write off coming off signing a $700 million contract, to be embroiled in a scandal like this for $4.5 million is surreal. So, Jake, real quick, your thoughts.
Yeah, the whole story is pretty nuts. So, I mean, Shohei's first 6 years in Major League Baseball in America has essentially been a model citizen. I mean, the only things we hear about him are these great things that he's doing, whether it's on or off the field. Not any indication that anything like this was ever going to come about. The details don't make the most sense in the world, but the ones that do are shocking. $4.5 million is not some small sum of money, and the fact that it was being wired through his name and then they delivered Ipe to ESPN and then retracted it, none of it makes a lot of sense. I'm sure that a lot of this is going to come out over the next couple weeks. I mean, there are theories galore. I don't want to be one to speculate, but I'm sure there are going to be things coming out about this throughout the week. I don't think this is going to go away anytime soon as much as Major League Baseball, you know, hopes it would.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, listen, Shohei's not going to talk about this right now. Following the Dodgers 15-11 loss, and we'll get into that shortly, but really pales in comparison to what's happening with Shohei. Again, no shocker. He's not going to talk. He did not talk post-game. The Dodgers PR staff reportedly blocked his locker. Like, even when he was walking to the stadium pregame, they kind of blocked people's view of Shohei. Really what had been sort of a feel-good, first two games of the season clearly took a turn for the worse. I mean, worst case scenario here, and again, this is all speculation, but one of the biggest things to note is that Ipe did not gamble on Major League Baseball. I mean, that would have been doomsday scenario there. And even if Shohei wasn't involved, if Ipe, who is essentially attached at the hip, I guess it's really important to note how close these guys are, You never saw Shohei without him. Not only his interpreter, but people who covered the team described it as almost like a brother, where you know, where they would go out to dinner and be on the road. And, you know, when you're someone's interpreter, you are there on the mound, right? You're there in the clubhouse. You're there really during contract negotiations. I mean, there's a closer connection there. So it's not just a work colleague, but, the report is, and according to Ipe himself, is that it was soccer, it was basketball, it was football. It was basically like every sport except for baseball. And he basically noted that, listen, I knew that I wasn't supposed to bet on baseball. What are some of the biggest questions that you have? I think obviously the biggest one is, what did Shohei know, and when did he know it, and how did he respond? I am still totally floored that someone who has been as private as Shohei, someone who's done a very good job of really protecting himself and doing all the right things, that these transfers would be coming from his account. I mean, that is staggering.
Yeah, I think my biggest question is kind of what you said. Like, what exactly did he know? Because the claim now is that Ipe was stealing money from Shohei and Shohei knew nothing about it. But these are transfers under Shohei's name that I'm sure he would have had to sign off for. It's not like Ipe walked away with $4.5 million in cash and Shohei had so many other things going on in his life that, you know, just didn't pick up on what was going on. Yeah. So I think that, I don't know. I think they need to come forward and kind of just be as truthful as possible, which I doubt is going to happen. I'm sure that they're going to try and, you know, keep this under their rugs as best as possible. But it's like you said, these guys are so close. It's not like it's just a work relationship, right? Like, yeah. I mean, we saw, it's hard for me to believe, and I don't love to speculate, as I said, but at the end of Tuesday night's game or Tuesday morning's game, whatever you want to call it, Wednesday morning's game, the first game in Korea, when the last out's being made, you see Ipe and Shohei in the dugout, hanging out, laughing. Yeah. And then we're supposed to believe that 20 minutes later, Ipe is addressing the team in the clubhouse saying that, you know, he has a gambling addiction and he knows that he made a mistake and then he's just gone. It didn't really seem like that was the next step in their day, because it didn't just come out of nowhere. Like, if that actually happened, that was planned. The fact that they would not wait until they got back to LA to do this, kind of when they have this break, seemed a little weird too. The timing of it all didn't make a lot of sense to me. So yeah, I mean, the reporting on this was great. The ESPN article went a little bit deeper into it. So I'm sure that, you know, we'll continue to get things on this, but it's just a crazy story and it's such a beloved figure already by Dodger fans that has just kind of been, as I said, this model guy. Just kind of last thing I expected, especially at this time of year.
You know, and you bring up a great point in terms of the reporting on it. The fact that Ipe was made available to ESPN for 90 minutes, and according to the report, really went into detail about, you know, here's how I met the guy. And, you know, they met during a poker tournament in San Diego. And I like to gamble, and I'm not a good gambler, and I lost $1 million. And you know, listen, $4.5 million is a lot. I would imagine, though, if you're a bookmaker and you know that someone's basically attached at the hip to Shohei Ohtani, you have no problem giving him a line of credit. It also came out in the reporting that he made around $500,000 per year. Again, way too much to gamble or way too much to be in the hole for him. But when you talk about Shohei Ohtani, you know, $4.5 million. And again, I mean, the biggest thing that I keep going back to is, like, how did you allow your name to even be a part of this wire transfer? One of the parts of the report stated that, you know, Shohei was not convinced that Ipe wouldn't just use that money to gamble. So he himself said, I will make sure that this guy gets the funds. And again, it's like, isn't there someone else who could do that? Again, they never thought they would be in this position. One thing that I wanted to bring to your attention and get your thoughts. Again, this is not 20 years ago. Sports gambling is legal in 40 states right now. California will perhaps be one of the last states where, you know, when you talk about where we are currently on, Vegas, I mean, that is the sports gambling capital. But we are also on in California and Hawaii, which I've often said will be probably the two last states that legalize sports gambling. So really, the only reason this is a story is that this was not a bet that was made on DraftKings or FanDuel. This was made to an illegal bookmaker in California. How big of a, like, let's play this out. Let's say Shohei knew, and let's even say that Shohei, like, you know, like him and his friend put a couple of bucks down on a soccer match or a football game or something like that, not baseball. Again, that's where you get past that line in the sand that you can't cross. How right. big of a story truly, like, is this to you?
If this had taken place in one of the 40 states where gambling was legal, it's not, I don't think it's that big of a story because yeah. there's no potentially illegal activity taking place. So it, to me, honestly, it's not that big of a story. Like, yes, it's a story that whoever it was, whether it was Shohei or Ipe, was losing millions of dollars gambling, I guess is a story within itself. But I think that the real issue here is the fact that it was an offshore account, an offshore book that really complicates things. So that then brings in, you know, investigations and state government and the league. And so I think that's where it really gets tricky.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because back in the day, Michael Jordan, you know, is, and I think he would be the first to admit perhaps was or still is a degenerate gambler, but his gambling was more like, you know, a blackjack and poker right. and roulette and whatever. You know, when you start to get into sports gambling, and by the way, I mean, for all I know, Michael Jordan has not been involved in that. But when you're involved in a situation where you have an illegal bookmaker, and again, this is just the breaks. I mean, who is now in the midst of being investigated by the Fed, and then your name comes up. I mean, that is such a eureka moment for whoever is like investigating this guy. Right. Where it's like, oh my God, like Shohei Ohtani, like he got multiple wire transfers of $500,000. So again, we'll touch on this more in the next segment. Again, there's more questions than answers right now, more so the fact that the story changed drastically within a day. My two cents is that someone within Shohei's camp, an attorney, someone along those lines says, no. If Shohei was just doing his friend a solid, that's still illegal. Like, if right. Shohei knowingly tried to help his friend out but wired millions of dollars to an illegal bookmaker, that's not yeah. good. So we got to change the story. And they did. The problem is, like, Ipe already talked to the media. He already talked to ESPN.
Which is the issue. Which yeah. is the thing I don't really understand. Because I feel like the only reason you go to the media is if you know that this is going to come out eventually and you're trying to get ahead of it in a sense.
Yeah.
And then they had realized that somewhere along the way they had made some massive mistake and had to retract. That's where I get really tripped up on this.
And again, this is just my two cents and we'll know more. You know, my view is they did not view this as a big deal. I mean, mm-hmm. when you watch a game now, Jake, it's like, you know, Major League Baseball brought to you by FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever. So in their minds, they're like, listen, this guy has a gambling problem, the translator. He's not going to gamble anymore. He's promised that he won't. Shohei, you know, really trusts him, believes in him. He helped him out. And that's it. Like, in their mind, I think that was the story. And, like, right. so, like, if, like, the translator sat down with the reporter and basically told his side of the story. So this is where it comes off good with Shohei, because there's a part of this, if you go down, like, there's so many rabbit holes on Twitter and X, but like I think the translator really genuinely said, hey, I was in this poker tournament in San Diego, like, I met this guy, he seemed legit, I put a few bets down on soccer, I got down the hole, like, a million, next thing you know, like, a million becomes two, becomes three, becomes four and a half, like, by the way, at no point did this illegal bookmaker say, and by the way, he has nothing to gain from protecting Shohei. He's like, I've never met him. Right. I don't know him. Now, did I, in conversations with people, try to pass off like I do know him to kind of help his clout? Yes. But like right now, like as we sit here on a Thursday, there's been no proof that Shohei is in any way involved outside of perhaps wiring money to someone that he did not know who he was wiring money to.
Right.
So for right now, that's good for Shohei, but we'll see how all that plays out. Not good for the Dodgers, Jake, is the game on Thursday morning, game two. Again, the Dodgers now 1-1 on the season after a 15-11 loss. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, that was the other big signing for the Dodgers, a record for a pitcher, $325 million over 12 years. He has had a rough spring training, and you cannot have a more rough debut when you get pulled after one. Five runs in 43 pitches, 45.00 ERA. Jake, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was definitely not the debut that you're looking for out of Yamamoto, but it wasn't like he was making his pitches and just getting hit and stuff isn't necessarily going to translate to Major League Baseball. He has made his living on being able to command every single one of his pitches in any count, right? His strikeout to walk ratio, in Japan was nearly 5-1, and he just didn't have his control. In this start, gave up a leadoff single to Xander Bogaerts that if Mookie Betts is set standing 2 feet to his left is a routine ground ball, hits Fernando Tatis and then gets hit around a little bit, walks Machado, ground ball to Muncy off of Campusano's bat that he probably should have fielded, didn't get a ton of help. Gave up five and put the Dodgers in a hole early, but the Dodgers, I think, have shown through two games that this is a team that is never out of a game. Was down 9-2 in the eighth. Had a shot to tie the game with Mookie Betts on second base and Shohei Ohtani at the plate, didn't get it done, and then Machado hits the 3-run homer to kind of break it open. But this team's going to be able to score runs. The bullpen was a little bit more taxed than I would have liked in this one, but you're going to give up runs when you force your bullpen to throw eight innings. So definitely not what I would have loved to see out of Yamamoto, but not something where I'm necessarily concerned that he can't figure it out long term.
Well, one of the big stories going into this debut, and again, before he had this terrible debut, was that, you know, he had not had a good spring training. Most people that I talked to were not concerned by that. Tell me why, as we sit here on a Thursday, following that spring training and following that debut, and again, he's just 25 years old, you knew there was going to be a transition phase here. Why are you not yet concerned?
I'm not concerned because of the samples. I mean, the sample size at the major league level is already is so small, and the sample size outside of Major League Baseball is ginormous. It's not like this is your typical rookie that's come up through the minor leagues and is trying to make an adjustment to professional baseball. So I think he'll be able to figure it out for sure. I think that with these guys, especially these guys that are coming over from Japan, it just takes time. Like, there's a reason that they gave him, he hadn't thrown a pitch on a major league mound, and he got the richest contract for a starting pitcher in major league history. And, you know, not that he's miles better than Blake Snell, but Blake Snell just got a 2-year deal coming off of a Cy Young season. Like, this wasn't some guy that the Dodgers took a chance on. He's a stud. He will be the ace of this rotation for years to come. And I'm not sure that a couple spring training starts and one start in Korea is enough to deviate my thoughts on him just yet.
Again, weird game. When you look at that final score, like, clearly 15-11, but for the Dodgers to come back, being down 5-0, but then also all that controversy, like, to your point, it'd be one thing if this story had broken back in Los Angeles. It's just a little bit different when you're in Korea and you're kind of already like wanting the game to be over and come home. Your thoughts on the way that they played again, to come back. If I had told you that they had scored 11 runs, you would have been obviously very happy, but to give up 15, just your general thoughts on the game.
Yeah. I think you can just flush this one and move on. Yeah. I think Mookie looked great. Shohei's fine. Freddie's going to figure it out. Will Smith had four hits. I'm a little concerned about that 5-7 in the lineup, that Muncy, Teoscar Hernandez, James Outman, because as great as it is that these guys at the top are going to load the bases and get on base for these guys, that's a lot of swing and miss and a lot of rally killing really quick. So I think you may see not necessarily guys that are going to hit 300, but guys are going to put the ball in play a little bit more. Jason Hayward, Gavin Lux might, you know, get thrown up there a little bit. Lux looked good, 2-for-5, which is encouraging. Was a huge fan of him 2 years ago before the ACL tear last year. So hoping that he gets it back on track, because if you can add another dynamic left-handed bat into this lineup, it'll do wonders.
What do you hope this team does now going into the season? Because again, I view this as a very tight-knit clubhouse already. Again, their big name slugger, Shohei Ohtani, is going through stuff. Yoshinobu is obviously going through stuff as well in terms of, you know, again, people will love, if you're not a Dodgers fan, there's no one you want to see fail more than the Dodgers, and I totally get it. What would you like to see this team do, I guess, going into the season? Again, we've touched on this, a unique situation where they come back, play a couple of exhibition games in the freeway series before the season begins. But is there, like, anything in particular that you'd like to see them do? Again, I have no doubt that they will get together, that clubhouse will be especially tight right now.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything I'm looking at them for them to do in terms of like a statistical thing or milestone. I just need them to stay healthy and as crazy as it sounds and as poor timing it is, and avoid controversy. Because the last couple of years, Trevor Bauer, lose him. Julio Urias, lose him. Not that those are the reasons that they weren't able to bring home a World Series championship, but it definitely doesn't help to one, lose a guy, and two, to have that swirling around your clubhouse and have to answer those kind of questions from the media. So if they can stay healthy, they are by far one of the top two talented teams in baseball, them and Atlanta, and they can beat anyone in a playoff series. So if they can go in with Mookie, Ohtani, Freddie, Will Smith healthy, Glasnow, we need him to stay healthy. He hasn't thrown above 120 innings in his career in a season. So if everyone can just stay healthy, I have no doubt that they'll win 90 plus games and go into the playoffs as a favorite to bring home the World Series.
Yeah, again, a lot of questions as the Dodgers head home. Shohei Ohtani did not talk to the media postgame. Did not expect him to. Again, I mean, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. So we'll obviously track this story as we move on. Jake, thank you so much for everything. We will have you back on next week. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Grant Mona, Brandon Deutsch. Again, once again, dive into what's happening with Shohei Ohtani, but also try to figure out what happened to the Dodgers in a crazy game two of their Soul Series against the Padres, losing 15-11. So we'll talk about that when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. By the way, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right. As we touched on, a lot to get into here on a Thursday, and one of the more fascinating stories of the year, and probably will be the story of the year, is what's happening with Shohei Ohtani. So to talk about that and more, we welcome in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona, Brandon Deutsch. Okay. Before we get into what happened in the game two of the Soul Series between the Dodgers and the Padres winning 15-11. The biggest story of the Dodgers season thus far, and maybe the biggest story in Major League Baseball, broke when we found out that Shohei Ohtani's longtime interpreter, Ipe Matsuhara, had been fired for allegedly stealing $4.5 million to pay off a gambling debt. The twist in the story was, a day prior to this, a Ohtani spokesperson essentially said that Ohtani knew about it, paid off the debt for his friend. Ipe spoke to a reporter who, and he basically said, yeah, listen, I've gambled on soccer, basketball, football, not baseball. I won't do it again. I've learned my lesson, all that stuff. But Brandon, you could add more context than most in the sense that you covered the team, you covered Shohei. You saw the dynamic between these two men, which we've heard is almost like brothers. They're attached at the hip almost.
Yeah.
Your initial thoughts when you heard and read the story?
Yeah, I was very shocked. Everyone loved Ipe. You know, when I would go to the cover of the team, it seemed like he had a great relationship with not only Shohei, but the Angels organization and every reporter. They all loved him. He's kind of like a hero to a lot of people in general, not just Japanese people in, you know, in Japan, but in America too, because, you know, he is actually grew up in Southern California, grew up in Diamond Bar, right? Even though he's born, I believe, in Japan. And so, you know, that was part of the reason, you know, he was hired and, you know, the connection to the Angels. I believe he had some ties to Cal State Fullerton as well. Yeah. And at the end of the day, all I saw was a really nice guy who I have to tell you, he was very slow at interpreting. And he would speak really like soft. So like as a reporter, you know, we're recording it. And anytime I would try to get a quote from Shohei Ohtani, I had to like really listen in. And I apologize if I misquoted anything or if any reporter misquoted anything, because the guy literally, they asked Shohei a question. He's like, yes. And I'm like, wow, this is really soft, especially, you know, when there's 50 reporters around. So that was the only downside, but everyone seemed to love him. So I was really surprised. I don't think Shohei's the guy that would just gamble, even on soccer. He seems like not an adrenaline junkie, just a guy who's always lives, sleeps, breathes baseball. Now, I know he's secretive, kept his wife a secret for a long time. And it's possible that there is something further to this, that maybe Shohei knew about it or, you know, possibly was involved. But I doubt it. I really do, because he doesn't seem like the adrenaline junkie type of guy personally. But an odd situation, Arash.
Yeah, I mean, Grant, one of the more surprising things, I guess, is when you talk about a guy who, you know, just signed a record $700 million contract, embroiled in a scandal over $4.5 million. This is on a there's a number of reasons why I believe Shohei was perhaps just trying to help out a friend. You know, again, you know, when you hear about something like this, and then there's not quite consistency, not even not quite, like there's inconsistencies in the storytelling, how it changed from one day to the next. What I believe in that situation is somehow the attorney got involved, or someone found out about how they were relaying the story. And again, this is just my two cents. Someone said, no, listen, if Shohei wired $4.5 million to an illegal bookie, he's still going to be in some hot water. To what extent, we don't know. But let's not say that that's the story. It's much easier to say that this guy has a gambling problem. He stole money from Shohei. Again, beyond crazy to me that this wire would come from Shohei's actual account. Again, that is another reason in a weird way why, like, I don't know to what extent Shohei knew what he was involved in or to what extent. And again, you can say that I'm like apologizing for Shohei. Listen, there's a story going on in Vegas, and to what extent is true. You know, Bruno Mars has a $50 million debt at MGM. Like, if this was over $50 million, I'm like, Shohei's interpreter is not going to be $50 million in the hole. Right. I can maybe imagine Shohei. But Grant, your thoughts, again, wild story. Your thoughts when you first saw it.
I was very, very shocked. I feel like with everyone else, because all Shohei Ohtani and his group, his team have been is cordial and good to the game and, you know, clean. So, you know, when you see something like this, you got to give a little bit of caution, say, okay, well, are we really looking at this the right way? But Arash, you mentioned it plenty of times, is that there's so much misinformation, I feel like, or conflicting information right now. Yeah. Conflicting, I guess, is the better term, because you know, Ipe came out and said that he apologized to the club. You know, he had that ESPN interview and he said that, oh, he apologized and addressed the clubhouse, and that Shohei had no involvement and he doesn't gamble and all this. And then there's other reports that say Shohei did know about it and that he did transfer the money to get out of that gambling debt for his good friend, his close friend. And so when you have conflicting information and when you have conflicting reports of how these things go down, especially when you're dealing with legal stuff, you're always going to, you know, people are always going to question that type of thing. And it's so unfortunate that it happens at this point of the year, because the Dodgers just finished their Seoul series. And, you know, there's a big hype about Shohei Ohtani playing his first few games as a Dodger. And instead of us looking at the performance of the team and looking at the performance of Shohei and how he, you know, how he did, we're looking at this issue. And, you know, it's, I don't know what's going to come of it. I'm assuming this is going to be a month long investigation into it. It seems like, you know, the MLB is going to try to do everything to protect Shohei. I mean, they had the Dodgers PR guarding his locker. Yeah. Like, I don't think I've ever heard that exactly. Where PR is guarding a locker. And then Shohei left the clubhouse. So look, it's just such a weird situation. And this is what I hope. And I hope for the best for all of them personally and all this stuff, but it's just, I hope this doesn't become such a cloud around the team, because mm-hmm. things like this tend to do that. I mean, when you have an investigation into anybody on your team, you're going to be a little bit cautious. You're going to be a little bit on edge, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen. So I'm going to wait for a lot more facts to come out. I'm going to wait for a lot more of official things to come out before I start making any speculations. But right now, it's just such a flip-flop type of deal to where I don't know who to believe and which report to believe at this point. So I'm going to try to stay out of it, but it's just such an invigorating situation to come up this early in the season at a point where we were all so excited and now we're kind of confused. It's just so weird.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to get both of your thoughts on is that this is now 20 years ago. Sports gambling is legal in 40 states right now, not in California. I've often joked that our show is on the air in Vegas, sports betting capital, and also California and Hawaii, which I believe will be the last two states to legalize it. Probably up there with some others. But, you know, again, this is a story because these bets were made to an illegal bookmaker in California. I think this would be a non-story if this was 240 miles down the freeway in Nevada or somewhere else. How big of a story is this truly? Again, currently speaking, I think it's important to note, Major League Baseball is not investigating it, and Shohei Ohtani is currently not in trouble. I have no doubt that the league will have to investigate this. And listen, at the end of the day, my view is I don't think there's enough smoke here for Shohei, and here's why. The illegal bookmaker has no incentive to protect Shohei. This illegal bookmaker is saying, I've never met Shohei, I've never talked to him, he's not really involved. Again, he has no it doesn't serve him any good to help Shohei, to my knowledge. Anyway, Brandon, I'll start with you. I mean, if worst case scenario, my view, and again, well, actually, worst case scenario is if Shohei bet on baseball. I don't think that's the case. But if Shohei knew that his friend was placing bets on soccer matches or football or something like that, and like even if he helped facilitate that, just like how big of a story is this truly to you?
Well, I think it's a twofold thing. I think it's a huge story and not a huge story. There's two sides to it, if that makes sense. I don't think betting on soccer is, if you're a baseball player in the off season, should be an issue. Even if it was Shohei Ohtani betting, as long as it wasn't on baseball, because there are plenty of professional athletes that literally will give their, you know, prize picks or like DraftKings on other sports. And I know they try to advise not to make that public. But it happens.
Quick, LeBron James is very publicly, we've kind of joked about it, I mean, he's become like a guy who gives his picks on football. But yeah.
100%. And then there was that whole thing that, you know, there was that article about Mav Carter placing bets on basketball. Man. And then obviously there were conspiracies always at LeBron telling him obviously nothing was proven and that remains to be investigated. And I'm not trying to say LeBron did anything because there's no evidence. But it is a slippery slope with how DraftKings and FanDuel, you know, sponsor teams, their involvement with teams and brands is becoming, vastly, you know, larger and they're intertwined. I think we have to create rules with this stuff. And you know, I've always been in favor of legalize and regulate, but we have to start making this more known to the public, the lines and what crosses those lines, because there's a lot of people that talk about Vegas's influence on props, on unders, overs for players if it's not like a big game. Do they take the coaches, take guys out and, you know, they're one away from hitting a certain prop? That's a whole different conspiracy. But there are people that believe that because the lines are not, given with the involvement of DraftKings, FanDuel, and other sports betting companies. Now, again, for Shohei's consideration, I don't think it's an issue if it's just soccer, regardless. Obviously, they fired Ipe and, he was helping a friend out. Maybe we'll see more information to come. So I don't think it's a big deal there. But the bigger issue is the involvement with sports betting companies and us defining what they can and can't do and their influence on the game.
Yeah, Grant, real quick before we go into the actual game that took place. I mean, I think we're at a very unique crossroads. As Brandon touched on, the number of betting companies, DraftKings, FanDuel, you go down the list with partnerships with the league, partnership with players, partnership with teams. JB Bickerstaff, the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, was very public and saying, listen, I've gotten death threats. People went to the extent of getting my number, contacting me, saying, I know where you live. And he said, he hates it, obviously, but he kind of understood, like, if people are placing bets and that bet helps them pay for their food or pays for their electric bill, I mean, we're at a unique place where, like, I know leagues and teams want to make as much money as they possibly can.
Right.
But we're at a very interesting crossroads here.
Yeah, it's, everywhere I look, if you go on and watch a game or if you go on social media, I mean, sports gambling, and it has always been a thing. But I feel like now it's just reaching so many more audiences to where, obviously the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, they're in cahoots with it. And every game you watch, you'll see, oh, well, FanDuel did this, so we're sponsored by this, we're sponsored by DraftKings. Even ESPN has their own betting, I guess, sector, ESPN bet. So everybody is getting into this because they know that it's a cash cow. Look, I mean, even younger generations, younger kids are now, I see younger people getting into betting now, which is, it's kind of crazy to see. And the issue that I have with it is that, people are going to question a lot more things about the validity of awards and the performances and the hype of games, because already I've seen games that, people, they were classic games, right? They were classic performances and people are like, oh, well, I wonder if he had the over on his points, or I want Luka had 70 something. People are like, well, I guess he had the over. No, he just had an excellent game, So, I think we're starting to get a little bit clouded with the betting thing in terms of the integrity of sport. I hope it doesn't take it over fully, but like Brandon said, and like you said, Arash, if you set a guideline and you set regulations, you say, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, because right now it's still up in the air about what you can and can't do. I guarantee you a lot of people don't understand the rules of players betting on other sports or, teams involvement with the betting companies. So I think if we establish a line and establish regulations on what you can do in terms of the player, what you can't do in terms of the player, then maybe we will have a better path to sorting this out. But right now with it just growing exponentially, and I'm talking about sports betting, with it growing and expanding exponentially, it's going to be a little bit clouded right now if they can bet, if they can't. So I think you guys are right. You have to establish a little bit of a line and say, here's what you could do with it. Here's how you can do it. Here's the states you can do it with, because there are instructions and rules about how you can, but it's not really 100% clear for each state, right? Like in California, you can, in Nevada, you can, I think getting that down first is the first step in really regulating this, getting it to where it's a common thing. And I think every company that's dealing with this has kind of dropped the ball on that part.
Yeah. Let's close out with what actually happened at the game on Thursday, 15-11, the Padres defeating the Dodgers. The headline from that is Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the Dodgers big signing, $325 million over 12 years. Record for a pitcher, only last one inning, 5 runs on 43 pitches, 45.00 ERA. Brandon, I'll start with you. Again, has not had a very good spring training, obviously had the worst debut you could possibly have. He's still 25, so again, we got a long way to go. But your thoughts on his debut?
I think he might be tipping pitches. That's just an initial reaction. I know Yu Darvish had a similar issue in the World Series. And it seemed like when I was watching that game, the Padres hitters just knew what was going to happen, right? Like what pitches were being thrown. And because he looked so dominant at the start of spring, and then there was something he's been doing, and hitters started to figure it out, because there's no way with his pitch repertoire, he should be giving up 4 or 5 runs per, right? So at the end of the day, I think Yamamoto, it's a bad, bad outing. I don't know if he'll be as good as people think he's going to be, and the Dodgers spent a lot of money, but at the end of the day, I trust his stuff, and I think it will play at some point this season, so I wouldn't take it much for that. But it seemed like, man, runs were, that was an exciting game. Yeah. If you guys were up watching it, because I mean, that was like 15-11. Machado hit a dinger too. I mean, Mookie looks like MVP form. Muncy, like I mentioned, the reason why they won't win the World Series is his defense. I don't know why he's on a big league roster. I don't care how many home runs he can hit. Two errors led to huge things. So I'm still picking Atlanta to win the series this year, but I think the Dodgers can certainly make a run if Yamamoto starts figuring out and Buehler comes back okay.
By the way, this is why I love having you two on. I mean, I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about what is wrong with Yamamoto, and the way Grant looked at you when you said that. Explain that, Grant, if you guys can touch on it, and how does that get corrected? Again, Yu Darvish, people said that he was tipping his pitches as well. Obviously something that, with time can be corrected, but Grant, your thoughts.
Yeah, so when they say tipping pitches, that means that he's doing something in his mechanics and his delivery, and when he separates the ball from the glove, that the hitters can pick up on a consistent basis. So whether it's showing the first or third base coach your grip when you're in a glove, whether it's you change your arm action for a changeup or a breaking ball, whether it's you speed your arm up for a fastball. It's a lot of different things that you can look at. And look, when you're at the big league level, we did this in college as well. You tune into that stuff pregame. And when you watch film, we like to look at tendencies that pitchers have. And a lot of Japanese arms that come over don't translate immediately, right? They don't. Kodai Senga, who was an excellent pitcher for the Mets last year, I think he was in the Rookie of the Year conversation. He did not get off to a great start, but he eventually found his tune. He adjusted to the mound and the new ball and eventually became a dominant arm for the Mets last year. Yamamoto is going to go through the same type of thing. And, you know, he may be tipping pitches. You know, I haven't really dialed into the film. I'm going to look at it in a little bit. But what I was a little bit more concerned about is, you know, coming from Japan, a lot of the things that people talked about was his command, right? He could just pinpoint pitches. He was great around the zone. He was off on command in that first inning. He was not finding his spots. He was erratic. He was walking people. And when he did leave it over the plate, he was getting hit. So that's my main concern, but I'm not concerned at all. Let's everyone, my favorite word, relajate. I love that word because you get to relax. Just everyone. He's here for what, 10, 12 more years? Like, this is his first outing. So the Dodgers, hey, Arash, Brandon, they scored runs. We can hit. So, look, I'm not worried at all. They're 1-1, a 500 ball club average team. The Dodgers are. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, look, Yamamoto will be fine. The Dodgers will be fine. It's just, it's good to see them score a few runs here and there.
Exactly. I mean, guys, we are two games into a 162 game season. So, listen, we'll see how they hit come playoff time, right? All right, guys, you're the best. We'll have you back on very shortly to follow the Shohei Ohtani story. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.